I would imagine that most of us are well aware of the structural change that has taken place within the Catholic community of the Twin Cities. Both Twin City newspapers have carried extensive articles over the past couple days. The last time a significant structural change took place within the Catholic community of the Twin Cities was 1945. It was at the close of the Second World War, and Archbishop John Gregory Murray decided at that point, because of population growth, to establish more than 20 new parishes. And that happened very quickly, within a matter of a few years. Those new parishes, by and large, were placed in the core city because that's where the population was. By and large, these were small parishes that were situated between two large parishes. An example would be St. John Vianney in South St. Paul was one of those parishes. Holy Childhood in the Midway was another one of those parishes. Visitation in South Minneapolis between Incarnation and Ascension was one of those parishes. Well, since 1945 to the present day, it has been pretty much that structure that has obtained within the metropolitan area for the Catholic Church. Now, there are three considerations that prompted the restructuring at this time. The first consideration is that the numbers of priests, the numbers of clergy, is diminishing and diminishing rapidly and is aging. Up until 5 years ago, I was in the younger half of the clergy of the Twin Cities. Now, there are ways to address that issue, and most Roman Catholics have suggested that our leadership look at ways of inviting married persons to prepare for the priesthood and extending ministry to women as well, but our leadership refuses to accept that. So what we are dealing with is a very limited pool of ordained priests, and the Archbishop has determined that every parish will have a priest as its pastor. The second issue is financial. Over the years, the work of ministry has grown, and the cost of ministry has grown and has outstripped resources that many parishes have. So there are parishes, not unlike St. Matthew's, who run periodically deficit budgets and yet continue to struggle to do the ministry. There is another factor with regard to the central corporation in that the amount of litigation that has taken place against the Catholic Church in the United States over the past dozen or 15 years has in every diocese drawn off significant dollars from the central corporation, and so the central corporation no longer has the resources that it once had. The third issue is population. You and I understand populations shift. Populations move out of the core city, move out of even the first ring suburbs into the second, third, and fourth ring suburbs, and that in the core city, more and more it is newcomers to our land who are the citizens. And so the immigrant population, the newcomer population, which enriches our communities immensely, are by and large the populations that you will find in the core city as well as the first ring suburbs. Well, in light of those three considerations, over the past 18 months, there were a series of meetings, 160 of them, in which members of parishes and communities and the people who did ministry in the church, all kinds of people were invited to express themselves and express their ideas. Well, on Friday, the Archbishop rolled out the restructuring for the Catholic Church in the Twin Cities. And part of that restructuring involves the closing or the merging of 21 churches. An example of that would be in South St. Paul, St. Augustine's Church will close and will be merged with Holy Trinity in South St. Paul. Or on West 7th Street, St. Francis de Sales Church will close, and that parish will be merged with St. James. There are 21 such situations that are present in the metropolitan area. The parish that closes is called the merged parish, and the parish that receives the congregation from that merged parish, the neighboring parish, is called the receiving parish. Now, when a parish closes, that means that the neighboring parish assumes the responsibility for the work of that larger area. So the members of the closed parish become members of the receiving parish. The property of the closed parish becomes the property of the receiving parish. The liquid assets, the cash, the bank accounts of the closed parish become the property of the receiving parish. And the debts, the liabilities of the closed parish become the responsibility of the receiving parish. Now that's going to mean a tremendous amount of upheaval for people who are our neighbors, our friends, our family members, who are members of those parishes. Now there's a second category, and that is what is called the clustering of parishes. And St. Matthew's is involved in that. It does not involve any closing. But for St. Matthew's, it means that within the coming years, not very long, that one pastor will serve both St. Matthew's and St. Michael's. St. Matthew's will remain its own parish, St. Michael's will remain its own parish, but one pastor will serve both congregations. But the second piece is that beginning on the January of this coming year, January of 2011, serious efforts need to be made between St. Matthew's and St. Michael's on the sharing of programs, the sharing of staffing, the sharing of ministries, the sharing of the work of the church. So, for instance, it may be that we only need one bookkeeper to handle the work for both St. Michael's and St. Matthew's. We may need only one chief engineer to handle the heating system for both parishes. We may need only one religious education director to do the religious education program for both parishes. It may be that there be a combined preparation for confirmation between both parishes. It may mean that parish administrator would be able to serve both parishes. There may be lots and lots of efficiencies and economies that can be accomplished among clustered parishes. And St. Matthew's and St. Michael's are asked to begin that process very quickly. I've told Father Ojato that by the 1st of November, I would hope that we would have an opportunity for parish councils to meet together, parish school boards to meet together, parish finance councils to meet together. I would encourage parish men's groups and women's groups to come to know each other, to find if there are ways in which we can be stronger by our cooperation and our work with each other. St. Matthew's will remain a unique parish. St. Michael's will remain a unique parish. One pastor will serve both of those congregations. And then after some period of time, maybe you know, 3-4 years, as that comes together, then a third parish, Our Lady of Guadalupe, will be added to that cluster. So then the three parishes, Parish of Our Lady, Parish of St. Matthew, and Parish of St. Michael, will come together in a cluster. Each parish remaining itself, no one closing or absorbing the other, sharing staff and sharing a pastor, but also building a corporate effort around ministry. Now, that's going to mean change for all of us. You know, I have absolutely no energy to stand around and wring my hands and go tick, 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 tick. That's wasted energy on my part. I have tons of energy, though, to work with you in building the future for St. Matthew's in its collaboration with St. Michael's and Our Lady of Guadalupe. Because that's the future that's going to serve children and grandchildren. That's the future that's going to serve well beyond my time and yours. And that's a huge opportunity. That's a huge opportunity to build church. We didn't ask to be brought into this situation. Circumstances brought us here. But I would prefer to see this as an opportunity. I'm also absolutely committed to the fact that the decision about who St. Matthew's is and who St. Michael's is and who Our Lady of Guadalupe is and how they're going to be together over the coming generation is your decision to make. It's not mine. It's not Father O'Haro. It's not Father Kenny's decision. It's not the decision of professional staff. It's the decision of parishioners. It's the decision of the men and women whose faith life is lived in these communities. The success of that clustering, the success of that restructuring is in your hands. Certainly pastors and professionals work with members of congregations, but the goal has got to be yours. The agenda has got to be yours. The way in which life works has got to be yours, because that's the only way it will succeed. So, as we pray today, I would ask that we pray for the wisdom and the courage and the energy to go forward. I would ask that we pray for our partners, the men and women of St. Michael's Parish and the men and women of Our Lady, that we pray that all of us together might form a strong and vibrant expression of God's love. For the mission still remains. St. Matthew's exists in the world to be a visible expression of God's love. That doesn't change. The structures may, but the vision remains the same. Please.